I'll take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12 tonight. Thankful that you're here together in church to read from God's Word, study God's Word, and hear from the Lord tonight. And then take some time and pray. If you haven't gotten these already, there is some notes here. Now, they're not as good as Pastor Weigel's. They're not as complete as his, okay? But there is a small little outline there for you to be able to fill in. I'm not really an outline guy, but I did my best. So if you would like to fill that in, and there's some room on the back for you to add some additional notes. And I really don't know why I put an intro. There's really no intro to this message. I'm just going to jump right into it. But if you have some starting notes that you'd like to put in, well, then fine, so be it. And also, if you'll grab one of these prayer sheets, that'd be wonderful. And I know Mr. Larkin's handing them out in the back, so if you need one, just kind of slip your hand up and he'll get one of those to you. But Proverbs chapter number 12, Proverbs 12, verse number 17 is where we're going to start. Tonight's message is entitled, Use Your Words Wisely. Use Your Words Wisely. I've got to tell you that that phrase became very familiar to me, especially from about 12 years old up. And 99% of the time when I was told that phrase was most likely because I was in trouble because I had already kind of used my words unwisely. So, when my mom and dad were questioning me why I said what I did or what I did, they then said, use your words wisely. And I got to tell you, I heard that phrase quite often. But tonight, I think the Lord would tell us the same thing. Use your words wisely, not in the case of us being in trouble, but just as a, prerequisite to us speaking at all. Use your words wisely. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 17, the Bible says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And I'm sure we've heard that verse on more than one occasion. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But we're going to talk about several of the verses beforehand. Now, if you'll take your Bibles also to James chapter number 3, we'll be in both places. We'll start in Proverbs and we'll make our way over to James. But this is our second text passage, really, that we're going to be going through. James chapter number 3. I'll just be reading a few verses in this passage. James chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that is defileth, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. Let's have a word of prayer tonight, shall we? Lord God, just thank you so much for these passages, Lord. I'm reminded often of the challenges that I face in my life, even with my words, God. I'm reminded through my mistakes. I'm reminded through the things that I wish I could have taken back. I'm reminded through the words that I wish I could have put back in my mouth before I said them. God, I'm reminded in so many negative ways, but Lord, tonight I hope to be reminded in a positive way to choose wisely what my words will be. So Lord, I pray that we as a church body would be a church that would use our words to speak the truth and speak the truth in love, encouraging one another, to helping one another, giving the truth to the world about Jesus Christ, God. I pray that that would be our testimony. God, help us to learn something. Lord, please, I pray that you give me power as I preach this message to our church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got to tell you that my number one problem in life is my mouth. I've got to tell you, my words, man, they get me in a lot of trouble most times. If someone were to describe me, I'm sure they'd use the phrase open mouth, insert foot many times, okay, because that is my life. Many times I say the dumb things that really shouldn't be said, and honestly, this message is probably more for me than it is for you, okay, so I want you to know right off the bat that I'm preaching this to myself, and this was definitely a heart ripper as God was going through this with me. Now, this isn't the first time that I've talked about the tongue, but it is the first time that I've gone in full length in discussing it. And I think one of the reasons why is just what I told you, that sometimes my words really hurt me the most out of anyone that I know. So tonight I want to talk about how we can learn to use our words wisely together. You know, when I think about the way that our words are used, I believe that there's no gray area. I believe that our words are used to glorify God or glorify ourselves. They're either to glorify God or glorify ourselves. You see, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, oh my goodness, I am really mixing up the verse. But you know the verse I'm talking about, that no matter what you do, you should do it to glorify God. And man, for whatever reason, I'm having one of those moments where I can't remember anything, but that's okay. And I believe that our words should glorify God more than ourselves. And oftentimes we use our words as really, I would say, jewelry to decorate ourselves, jewelry to make ourselves look better. And oftentimes when we do that, we ended up doing exactly what I said earlier, we open mouth, insert foot. And I've got to tell you, when we use our words to glorify Jesus Christ, and it's not with the intent of glorifying ourselves, but you know, there is moments in our life when we are so selfless, and we use our words to glorify Jesus Christ, whether it be helping someone else, speaking the truth to another brother in Christ, speaking the truth to this lost world around us, and God gives us blessings like we've never even known before. It's quite a paradox, being selfless and yet receiving many blessings. But tonight I'd like to talk about how we can learn to use our words wisely. The first topic that I'd like to look at based upon Proverbs chapter number 12, the first passage that we were in, is number one, the types of the tongue, the types of the tongue. And I want to start out by taking a look at verse number 17, the first verse that we looked at, verse number 17 in Proverbs chapter number 12. The first type of tongue that I want to see is the truthful tongue, letter A, the truthful tongue. Verse number 17 says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Now, there are many people in my life that I've got to say they've got a tendency towards telling the truth. And even if that truth gets them in a little bit of trouble because of their actions, they still, man, they cannot tell a lie, because I got to tell you, they don't lie very well. I can attest to the fact that my wife is not a good liar. She cannot hold a surprise party worth her life. And I got to tell you, she did one time and she did a very good job. But my wife and I hold this same, I guess, characteristic where we're not good liars. But my wife is not a good liar because she's kind of got the honest Abe characteristic where it just hurts her to hold in something that she knows is a lie. And that's one of the things I love about my wife. But I got to tell you, there are a lot of people in my life that I'm very pleased to look up to and to know that they have this characteristic where they've got a truthful tongue. No matter what comes out of their mouth, it is the truth. And you know what's really interesting about the truth is in Proverbs 14:25, the Bible says, a true witness, in other words, those who use their words to witness as the truth, delivereth souls. A true witness delivereth souls. But just like that, there is a night and day scenario. And in Proverbs, most of the time you'll see one side of the coin, and then in the same verse you'll see the other. But in Proverbs 14:25, it says, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Tonight, first of all, I want to talk about the truthful tongue. Maybe this is not really your issue. Maybe your words, maybe you are a truthful person, but tonight it might be that you're sitting in here and you really, honestly, you fill your day with telling lies. And whether it's a lie to kind of save yourself from getting in trouble, or whether it's just a little white lie, maybe it's exaggeration, which, by the way, is a lie. And I got to tell you, a lot of us struggle with even exaggerated stories, myself included. We exaggerate the truth. It's a lie. It's not telling the complete truth. Tonight, a truthful tongue is one of the types of tongues that I want to take a look at. This first point, we're going to move very quickly through the second point that I want to look at tonight. And we're going to kind of break down each of these types of tongues. The second tongue that I want to see tonight is the piercing tongue, the piercing tongue. And this person is not a person who necessarily is telling a lie, but it's someone who is telling the truth to hurt. It's someone that is telling the truth to pierce someone else through. It's someone that's speaking the truth, but maybe in the form of gossip. Take a look at verse number 18. Verse number 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So first of all, we saw the truthful tongue, but next is the piercing tongue. This is the person that you come across where every single thing they say is direct at someone else. They just can't be kind. They just can't be very helpful. They can't be encouraging. They're always trying to, get the next jab into someone else. This is that type of tongue. This is the person that the Bible is talking about. There's some people that they just enjoy tearing people apart with their words. Whether it's through sarcasm, and let me tell you, being sarcastic can be fun at times. I think we can all attest to that at times where, we use sarcasm and it's a lot of fun. But I can tell you, this kind of speech is the speech that longs to tear people down. The person that's always critical, the person who's always demeaning, the person who's always telling someone that they're not worth their salt, so to speak. It's the piercing tongue. You might be sitting in here tonight. You're already thinking to yourself, well, I'm not the truthful tongue because, I'm not the one who's really just trying to be an encouragement, but I am the piercing tongue. I am the person who uses their words to break down someone else. The piercing tongue. I was thinking about the Bible. The Bible talks about how it's a sword that's sharper than any other two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. This is not what this is talking about. Okay, we're talking about a piercing in the fact that, you're hurting someone. See, the Bible is a piercing effect in that it's piercing through the heart to get to the heart, to help them. This person may come across as if they're trying to love someone by, rebuking them, but the whole while it's not for the other person, it's for themselves. They've got selfish motivations. Tonight, the types of tongue so far, we've taken a look at the truthful tongue, but also the piercing tongue. And the last tongue is, of course, letter C there, the deceitful tongue, the deceitful tongue. Take a look at verse number 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And in that verse, there's such powerful truths there that I could spend the whole night talking about that one verse. But we'll continue on. Verse number 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. And of course, verse number 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Matthew Henry, I don't condone everything he always said, but Matthew Henry did say, those that make their refuge a lie will find it a refuge of lies. In other words, when those people, they get back to that place where they lied about in the first place, they're going to find that there's no foundation there, that it's just a hollow bottom where they're just going to continue to fall. Whereas the truth, it's established. It's a ground that you can rest upon. It's a place that you could always fall back on, such as the Bible itself. The Bible is truth. In fact, Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In other words, it's a foundation that's established. It's never going to fade away. But the truth itself, in speaking the truth and telling the truth, and that, yes, this is stuff that we learn as a young kid, but I think we forget even about the basics as far as speaking the truth, telling the truth. Let me tell you, telling a lie, although it may seem nice at the time being, it's just like a foundation of clouds. There's nothing to rest upon. But one man said it like this, a man who betrays the truth betrays a firm foundation, a secure resting place, and a lasting joy. You know, what's interesting about the truth is sometimes telling the truth may hurt you, but eventually you'll be glad that you told the truth. I don't know anyone that's ever felt regret about telling the truth. Obviously, at first, maybe when they're going through the trouble of, man, I told the truth and I got in trouble at first. But later on, they don't have their conscience to deal with. They can sleep easy knowing they did the right thing. Tonight, honestly, there's three categories of the tongue here. And you fall into one of them. And yes, some of us have places in our life where we are deceitful, or places in our life where we do use piercing words, in other words, words to hurt someone else. But tonight, I hope that we will fall into the category, or at least we can be helped to come back to the first category, the truthful tongue. So tonight, number two, I'd like to take a look at the significance of the tongue, the significance of the tongue. Letter A, I want to take a look at the fact that it reveals the heart. It reveals the heart. The tongue reveals the heart. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 7. Proverbs 23, verse number 7. The Bible says this, and I'm going to connect this with another passage, so be prepared to turn over, but Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And we can stop there. That's the phrase that I want to get out of this verse. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." In other words, what's in your heart will eventually make its way out into your life. What's in your heart is a picture of who you really are. But how do we know what's in your heart? Well, this is what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter number 12. So why don't we turn there, Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse number 33. Matthew 12, verse number 33, and the 33rd verse of this chapter can really kind of be a tell-all for whatever it may be in your heart, but specifically talking about the truth. Matthew 12, 33. Together, the Bible says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." So the question is, how do we know what's in the heart? Well, verse number 34, "A generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So in other words, the words that you say eventually will become who you are. If you speak lies, you're a liar. If you speak piercing words, man, and you're a Christian, you're a hypocrite. But if you speak the truth, if you speak the truth, you're a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So in other words, what comes out of your mouth will tell us who you really are. That's the significance of your words. You know, I was just coming out of college, and I was a soccer coach for the first year, and I've coached soccer for the past couple of years. And it was kind of an awakening to really my heart and what was in my heart when I coached. There was one game in specific, a rival team of ours, and a team that I really just wanted to beat. I mean, I really wanted to beat them. And we were playing them well, and I think it might have been one of the times that we really kind of had a chance at winning the game. And the score, I think, was 2-1 at the time. 2-1 at the time. And we were playing a school that's from the south western part of New Jersey. And we were playing right around the corner, and there was a kid on the team, and a real good kid, and he's growing in the Lord. And man, I have a great relationship with him now. But when I think about what happened that day, man, I look back and I almost get red every single time I think about it. This kid, he was fast as lightning, still is. And I remember him running towards the net, and he had the ball, and he wasn't really a soccer player. In fact, he had other main sports that he played, but soccer really wasn't his thing. He was just playing just because we needed an extra guy, and he decided he was going to have fun and go and play and get in shape for the basketball season. So he was going towards the net, and man, he had a wide open shot. And he was trying to have fun, and later on he told me about this, and he kicked the ball, but he kicked it with his opposite foot. And I was just thinking to myself, what an idiot. That time, and really, it kind of came out of my mouth in a way. I didn't call him an idiot out loud, but I said, why didn't you just shoot with your right foot? And I'm yelling at the kid. And the kid all the while was just trying to have a good time. He's just trying to have fun. And, you know, I'm very competitive. I've said that before. I'll say it 1,000 times more. I love sports, and I love to win. And, man, I really thought we were going to win that day. We had the momentum. Yes, they had scored a goal past us. I think, actually, the score was 3-2 at the time. And we were going to tie the game. It was in the second half of the game, and the time was running out. And I couldn't believe that he passed up a shot like that. I remember he kicked the ball and went up in the air, and it hit off the crossbar and went over the net. And I was furious. I was furious. And I was so furious that when he came back, I could see the look on his face. Not only was he embarrassed, but he was furious at me. And he should have been. I mean, he had every right to be. And I was thinking at the moment, oh boy, this is a kid in the youth group. This is a kid that just saw what was in my heart. And there was anger in my heart. There was anger and competition that should have just been grace and mercy for a kid that's never played a day in his life and come out to play on the team, and he does a phenomenal job all year long. And there was anger in my heart, and that anger made its way out through my mouth. Eventually, that night, I got together with him, and man, it was funny because he was crying, I was crying, and I was telling him, listen, I love you, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of where you're going to in your Christian life. Man, I'm so proud you're in the youth group. And you know, one of the things about the kid, it was he was a senior that year. And man, I really relied on him for a lot. And I was so proud of the way that he even handled that afterwards. And he forgave me. And man, we still have a great relationship to this day. But I got to tell you, that moment was not one of my brightest moments. And I've had many moments like that since, not necessarily with soccer, but maybe with other things. But you might be like me who, man, you get in a moment in your life, whether it's at work or at home, and you just let a rip. And you let what's in your heart right out, and you wish you could just kind of catch it like a glove in baseball and put it right back in your mouth. And I've been there, and I know how that feels. And Christian, understand that before we speak and before we reveal what's in our heart, maybe we should take a look at our heart and say, why is my heart like that? Why am I thinking like that? And I wish I would have in that moment taken a look back and said, it's just a game. And our job as coaches and as players and as Christians is to glorify God even in this game. Through the words that we use, through the actions that we have on the field, helping one another up. And yes, I believe that Jesus would have played his heart out. I do believe that. I believe that the Old Testament says, whatever your hand findeth to do, do with all your might. And I believe that Jesus would have been a player that would have played his hardest, but I believe he would have helped up the other guy when he knocked him down. And I believe he wouldn't have used angry words. Because we didn't see it throughout the gospel. We saw the wisdom of Jesus Christ throughout the gospel through his words. And you know, the one thing that I consider right now is when I speak, is it revealing the Holy Spirit that lives inside of my heart? Or is it revealing Nicholas Piervicente, the one who's supposed to be dead? Because Paul said, I die daily. And we're supposed to crucify the flesh and mortify the members of the flesh. And so the tongue reveals the heart. The tongue reveals the heart. One man said, I believe it was Max Müller, said that words make the heart incarnate. Words make the thought incarnate. Words make the thought incarnate. In other words, what you think, your words eventually make firm or I don't know, you could get whatever you get out of that. All right. It reveals the heart. Let her be there. It holds great power. It holds great power. James chapter number 3. So let's turn to the other chapter that we're dealing with tonight, James chapter number 3. Obviously, we know that our tongue holds great power. Verse number 3 in James chapter number 3 says, Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse number 4, Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of the fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse number 5, Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It has great power. Understand the words that you speak. You've got power in someone else's life. You've got power in this world. And you know, we really ought to be using that power for the glory of Jesus Christ, but so many times we use it to gain our own power. And unfortunately, myself here, I definitely think of myself. Sometimes when I think of myself, I should insert Jesus Christ when it comes to my words. Whether it's in my relationship with my wife, with my students, with eventually my daughter, I shouldn't insert myself where Jesus Christ should be as far as my words are. And so tonight, when you think about your words, understand if you're having trouble with the words that you speak, know the power that your words have. Not only do our words hold great power, but it carries great influence. It carries great influence, let her see. Take a look at, or I'll just read it for you, Proverbs 18:21. We know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Understand, the influence of the tongue goes a far-reaching distance. The influence of the tongue is beyond anything that we can really see sometimes. You know, I haven't thought about this very much, but I should. Have my words directed someone away from Jesus? Because my words have the power to do that. They have the influence to do that, but also my words have the influence to direct someone to Jesus Christ. I believe that us as Christians, by speaking the truth in love, we can direct them to the ultimate truth, Jesus Christ. By having a tongue that is sensitive to other people's needs as far as what they need to hear, sometimes that can be a directive to Jesus Christ. Now, the other thing that we need to consider is even our tongue with regards to other Christians. Now, you know, we always think about, well, I've got to reach the world, so I should tell others about Jesus Christ, but you've also got to encourage the brethren. You know, that's one of the things that sometimes we forget about is being willing to use our words to encourage others. You know, the Bible says to exhort one another. And the reason behind it, and the passage where it really says that, is in 1 Thessalonians. And the context of that is understanding that Jesus is coming soon, and there's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations that Christians are going to have to go through before that time comes. And so what Paul tells the Thessalonian believers is exhort one another so much as you see the day coming or approaching. In other words, Jesus is coming soon, and there's going to be some trials that you're going to have to go through. So encourage one another, because you never know what the person next to you is going through as a Christian. So the tongue carries great influence. And my last point tonight, number three, is the taming of the tongue. If you'll take a look at me with me for verse number 8 of James chapter number 3, verse number 8 of James chapter number 3. What's very interesting is James says, but the tongue can no man tame. So, Pastor Nick, you're talking about the taming of the tongue. Then the Bible says you can't tame the tongue. Yes, it's true. And my first point is we have to understand our inability. Understand that you and your flesh cannot control your tongue. You can't do it. It's impossible for you and your flesh as a Christian, the flesh that is dead, first of all, to tame that tongue. And that's why, obviously, the writer of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, said we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the reason why is because we have so many things that, honestly, we can't do in our flesh. You can't tame your tongue in your flesh. But the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you can. The Holy Spirit that's living inside of you can help. Can tame that tongue. I was looking at someone's post today. It was a dear friend of mine. And he posted almost like a chart. And it was dealing with when I struggle with someone else in life. When I struggle with whether it's a family member, another Christian. And this chart broke off in two different sections. And the one section read, if I go and talk to my friends about this person. And it was basically a what will happen if that happens. And under that section read, I go and talk to my friends about so-and-so. And really what it did after that, there was the next point, and it says, I cause my friends to sin by listening to my gossip. You understand, by listening to gossip and not doing anything about it is sin. It's wrong. By not saying no and walking away. But even speaking gossip, you're causing your friends to sin. And so then the next section after that was, then my friends start to talk about that person too, causing division. You know, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that talks about how God hates those who cause division. Literally, hates. Literally. He hates those who are divisive. And that's the literal word, hates. I believe it's in Proverbs 16. And then underneath that, I walk away unsatisfied and mad with so-and-so, and so do all my friends. But there was another column that said, instead of venting to my friends, I vent to God. I go to God. The next column underneath that portion said, I cause no one to sin and I help my heart to rest at ease. The next column after that says, I walk away free from sin and I walk away with an understanding heart towards that person and I walk away with joy knowing how I'm going to handle that situation. In our own ability, the first choice that we make with our words when dealing with someone else is to do what? To go straight to someone else. And we mask it under venting. I need to vent. No, you don't. You need to go to the Lord and let Him deal with it. Stop talking about other people to your friends. Go to the Lord about it. Gossip is gossip, no matter what form it is. And I've done it. And I struggle with this. And that was such a blessing to me that I saved that. Because I struggle with it. Because I was the one saying, well, I'm just venting. No, I wasn't just venting. I was gossiping. I was a big gossip mouth under the guise of, I'm just venting. When reality, God wants us to talk to Him about things here. The best direction to go when you have problems horizontally is vertically. So first of all, I need to understand my inability. Second, I need to comprehend His truth. John 8:31, I think we know this one. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That word continue, meaning you're continuing to obey my word. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if we're going to obey God's word, we're going to need to know God's word. And if we're going to know God's word, that truth will help us when it comes time to saying the right thing. Because that truth is always going to make you free. Free of sin, free of doubt, free of frustration. Free of walking away with a feeling of guilt because you said something dumb, and I've been there. Man, the nights I've spent up into the wee hours of the morning just thinking about, I should not have said that. The guilt of knowing, man, I said something stupid, would have been all erased if I would have just remembered the truth, God's word. Understand our inability. We can't do it by ourselves. We've got to go to Him and comprehend the truth that's in His word, the truth that He is. And the last thing is the most simple of all. Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. I think so many times I don't have wisdom in my life because I just don't ask for it. You know, the Lord makes it just so simple for us sometimes. But we as human beings, we make it so complex. It's just God says, listen, if you're lacking wisdom, why don't you just ask? I hold all the truth that you can know. Why don't you just ask me? And if you can't ask God for just something simple like wisdom, how are we going to go to Him for the other things? But when it comes to our speech, the best thing to do before we say something is to tell it to God first, ask for wisdom from Him, and then go and say something. And I know there's many times where you're in a moment and you're just like, man, what do I say about this? Well, then don't say. Then don't say anything at all. If something requires an answer, require yourself to pray. Ask for wisdom. Verse number 5 of James 1, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Don't waver even asking for wisdom. Because James 3, and the last part of our text says this, James 3, verse number 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Sometimes the word conversation means our lifestyle. But in this chapter, in the context of this chapter, it literally means our conversation, meaning our verbal conversation. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But here's why we need to ask for wisdom. Because the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So why is there piercing words coming out of our mouth? Why is there lies and deceitfulness coming out of our mouth? Maybe it's because we just haven't taken the time to stop and ask God for wisdom. God, what should I say here? I just don't know what to say. God, I'm so frustrated. God, I'm supposed to meet with my boss tomorrow and I don't know what to say. God, I'm supposed to teach this class tomorrow. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. God, me and my wife, it's difficult. I just don't know what I'm supposed to say. Let him ask for wisdom. If you lack it, ask it. If you're lacking in it, ask God for it. Tonight, choose your words wisely. I believe that when we look at the gospel, we see a Christ who is wise in his answers. It just seemed like if it was me and these Pharisees were coming at me, I'd be like, duh. Jesus had an answer. And it was wise. And it was truthful. And if I'm going to be like my Savior, I've got to take time to have wisdom with my words. And I hope tonight has been a blessing. Listen, again, I do want to tell you, this message, these 3 pages of notes here, this is for me. I needed this. But if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Nick, it was for me too. It was for me too. I hope that was a blessing. I hope it was a help. I hope that we can recognize our inability, we can comprehend His truth, and we can ask Him for the wisdom that we need to choose our words very wisely. I hope this week that you'll have a good week as far as with your words. I hope that your words will glorify our Savior this week, and that if He were to come down in the middle of your conversation this week, that He'd be proud. That He'd be proud.